Welcome to Through the Word. Here you are on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Nickham and Jonathan Ferguson guide us through the Gospel of Matthew. Now to Pastor Chris.
Welcome back to Through the Word, Matthew chapter 20 today.
Now in the last chapter, Peter asked Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus answered by telling the disciples that they would sit on thrones, judging the nation of Israel. For anyone who gave up family or wealth for the gospel would receive 100-fold in the life to come. But the last thing that Jesus said in this chapter was, "Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Now, chapter 20 begins with the parable to illustrate this truth. Verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went." The story goes on to show the landowner going out and returning at noon, at 3 p.m., and even 5 p.m., just an hour before quitting time.
Now, a little background here is important. In Judea at this time, there were large estates that would occasionally need more workers, especially near planting and harvest time. Unemployed workers would gather in the marketplace in town, and landowners would come and hire them for the day. The usual pay was a silver coin called a denarius.
Now back to the story. At the end of the workday, the laborers were paid, starting with those workers who started last. For just an hour's work, they each received a denarius, a full day's wage. I'm sure the first workers were excited, now calculating their higher pay rate. If these guys got a denarius for an hour's work, we should be getting 12 for a full day. But then those who worked for 3 hours were paid a denarius, as well as those who worked for 6 hours. When they were finally paid, the first workers hired were paid the same, a denarius. So they did pretty much what anyone else would do in the situation. They complained.
Verse 11, "When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' So the workers who'd been serving all day were mad. They worked more. How come they get the same pay? What's with that? Those other guys just got here. We worked all day. It's not fair." Now watch that word, fair. It's central to this story.
Now the landowner responds in verse 13, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Now the landowner tells the workers that they had agreed to a denarius for their pay, and they received it. Just because he was generous to the others does not mean he was being unfair to the full day contract employees.
So what's the point of this parable? Well, think about it. The men thought their pay was unfair, but if they hadn't paid attention to the other guy's pay, it would have been fine. The owner paid them exactly as promised. The fact that someone else got extra does not mean that you got cheated. Now apply that to God's kingdom. God is king. He's the landowner, and he will not cheat anyone, but he will give lots of grace. Grace is never unfair, but it is always better than fair. Now, if you start comparing, you might get mad. How come he gets heaven when he just believed on his last day? I believed for years. But think about it. You don't deserve heaven either, and you didn't deserve to be saved longer than the other guy. It's all grace, so stop comparing and just enjoy it. Now, remember the context. The disciples asked what they would get for all that they had sacrificed. Now, all the disciples were saved pretty young. So I think this is a warning from Jesus not to start comparing. It's all God's, everything you sacrificed and everything you'll get in return. So just enjoy grace. In verse 16, "The last will be first and the first will be last."
Now, the issue of rewards comes up again in this chapter, starting in verse 20. The disciples have already fought over who is the greatest in the kingdom, and Jesus has already taught them a lesson in being childlike in their faith. But in the last chapter, he also mentioned that the 12 would sit on thrones, judging Israel. So maybe the topic of thrones brought up the old rivalries a little. Either way, James and John have a plan for getting the top-tier seats in the kingdom. Ask Mama for a little help. Verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom."
Now, Jesus doesn't actually answer her. Instead, he turns to the young men. Verse 22, "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." So what is this cup that Jesus is going to drink from? I get the feeling here that the disciples might think the cup was all about glory. James and John say they're ready for it. But Jesus was referring to something different.
Jesus was actually referring to his coming trial and death. In Matthew 26, twice he refers to this cup when speaking of his death. You'll notice here that the disciples are always focusing on the rewards and glory, and Jesus keeps bringing them back to the reality of the trials that come first. Jesus tells these two that they will indeed drink of the cup of suffering. James was one of the first martyrs of the church, and John suffered greatly during the Roman persecutions. But as to the seats of honor in the kingdom, these were not for Christ to hand out. His Father in heaven, the righteous judge of all, has prepared those seats for particular individuals. And no, Chris, I don't think they're for you and me. I have a feeling that some little old grandmother, sitting faithfully praying for her family day after day, is going to have one of those seats.
Well, whoever it is, it's not for us to decide. And it's not for us to fight for, either. God went to a lot of work to take pride and boasting out of heaven. The gospel is wired that way. You can't work for it. You're saved by grace so that you cannot boast. Why? To prevent exactly this. Right after the two ask, the 10 get mad. So Jesus got them all together to teach them how greatness really works in his kingdom. Verse 25, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus is radical. Our Creator came to earth. God became a man so that he could serve. That is one of the most shocking and beautiful truths in all of philosophy and religion. God is a servant. And the places of honor in his kingdom are not reserved for earth's high and mighty. They're saved for servants.
To be great in the kingdom of heaven means being a servant now. How easy is that? Matthew chapter 20, the rewards of the kingdom on Through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend or listen or support it. So thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word. Jonathan Ferguson is a church planter, and I will be Kenya. And he's my dad. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word. Leading you through a journey.
Leading you on a journey through the entire
journey
Bible.
With
leading you on a journey through the entire Bible. You got to wait till I finish what I say, and then you say it, okay?
Okay.
All right, ready to try it again?
Yes.